What's your favorite film?
God, that's awful.
Favorite?
Awful.
Awful.
Your favorite
film is
awful.
Hello, and welcome to Your Favorite Film is Awful. As always, my name is Luke, and with me is Charlie. How you doing, Charlie?
You didn't say the thing.
Which, what
the weekly podcast.
The weekly podcast where we invite a guest on.
Yeah, you just skipped it.
Well, yeah, because we don't have a guest.
Oh, right, yeah.
Why would I say this if there's no guest today?
That is true. We don't have a guest.
Come on, I'm thinking ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was wondering when the guest was going to turn up.
Oh, yeah, no guest today.
Okay.
I thought it'd be nice, just the two of us.
Oh, do we have to?
Yes.
All right, brilliant.
Yeah, it's one of those. I don't know if you've realised this, but we've been doing it for a year now.
Oh, no, mate.
This is the year anniversary of Your Favourite Film is Awful.
How? It's flown by, but also, it feels like we've always done this in a weird way.
It does feel like we've been doing this longer than a year.
Yeah, but at the same time, I can't believe it's been a year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get that.
50 episodes consistently. We've been very consistent.
Yeah, every week. We've done real good, I think.
I think we have.
But yeah, so I asked a couple of people some questions that we could think about, talk about, that sort of general just thing. So listener, if you are listening to this as your first episode and introduction to Your Favourite Film is Awful, maybe pick a different episode.
This is more of a special. Because I don't know if you want to say straight away, Luke, but we're basically taking a bit of a break, aren't we?
Well, yeah, this is the end of season one.
Yep.
We're going to take some time off, go on hiatus, come back bigger, stronger, and uncut.
Yep. Like those gems,
South
mate.
Park. No.
Oh, you were thinking South Park.
I was thinking South
That's
Park.
That's also good. I'll take that.
Because those are the exact same undertitle of South Park, the movie.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
But I'm glad we know where our minds go. But yeah, I thought this would be a nice reminiscing, thinking of the future, thinking of the past, thinking of what we've done and what we hope to achieve.
Sounds good.
Sort of dealio. I threw out the net on Instagram and was like, hey, is there any questions you want us to answer? And from there, I thought we could just have a nice, relaxed episode, shoot the shit.
I'm good at
shoot the talk.
As everyone's aware.
Oh, mate, you
never
stop. 50
episodes of me talking shit.
And letting no one else talk. It's been beautiful.
Yeah. But before that, Luke, do you want to go through what you've been up to this week?
Yeah, let's keep that part of the formula.
Of course,
so. Oh, it feels weird though, because I'm going first.
Yeah, go on, fuck it. This is it. We're switching to season two. We're getting ready for it.
Oh, God.
So we're switching things up. Go on, Luke. Okay. You go first this time.
Cool. Okay, so this week I watched two films, both animated.
Oh, okay.
I watched the My Hero Academia Two Heroes, which was the first film of that anime. It was like a spin-off thing. It was a nice little thing where All Might and Deku go off to an island to meet All Might's old friend, and, you know, chaos ensues and superpowers and all this good shit. I enjoy the anime, so it was a nice, like, addition to that show. The other thing I watched was a film called Species.
I see that pop up on your letterbox, and I'm very curious to hear about this.
Yeah, but it's spelt Spices, which has been the joke that me and my friends have been having for a while, because it's amusing. So, this film, right? Fucking crazy. Like, I was watching it and I was like understanding what was going on, but then like you try and explain it to someone and you're just fucking looking like a mental case. So,
please do it.
Oh, mate. Okay.
Okay,
so here's the thing, right? Imagine Zootopia, right?
Okay, I've not seen Zootopia. I'm really ashamed of that.
Oh, okay, well, you should definitely fucking sort that out.
Yeah.
Okay, so Zootopia, it's a lovely film, but the animal thing, it's kind of just a very surface level based on racial stuff, because it's like the people that eat meat versus the people that only eat carrots.
Okay.
Sort of shit. Spices is an animation with all animal characters, anthropomorphic, but it means nothing. The people were just like, cool, I want to make a film with a talking cat and a rat and an elephant and all these different animals. So straight off the bat, doesn't mean anything.
Mm. Okay.
It doesn't help in any way. Mate. Okay, so Vladimir the cat is like that top spy guy who's reckless, wild and reckless sort of thing. And he gets partnered with the tech guy, which is this rat Okay.
Okay. I was hoping it was the elephant, but it's
fine. Mate, no. The elephant is the police chief.
Perfect.
It's perfect. And they go to like this one of those platforms in the middle of the sea sort of dealio. And they're just there as like guard duty because Vladimir is being punished because he did a bad thing. However, they're actually guarding like this chemical that freezes shit. And whilst they're on quote unquote duty, it gets stolen. And so the film is them trying to like find out who did it and what happened and all this good stuff, right?
Mm.
Which like basic sounds fine.
Mm.
But then it's like, so the person that does this, right? They point at one guy in classical like whodunit situation. Who isn't, like, who we think it is, but what he's doing is also really fucking weird. And it's one of those that...
Just mate, seeing you right now.
I am trying to mental, find yeah. words, because I know that you're never going to watch this film.
Yeah, no.
But I don't know if the listener's going to watch
true,
this
you don't
film.
Want to spoil it.
So I don't want to spoil it just in case.
Yeah.
Mate, the like, trying to... If I was allowed to just sit here and trying to tell you the plot, your face would just... curl it in on itself as you just like question the very existence of this film.
I kind of want to see it now.
It's like, because it's one of those, like, you sit there and you'll watch it and it's fine. It's just a normal film. You can piece all the pieces together because it's got a fairly clean structure.
Yeah.
It's only when you look back and go, okay, let me try and explain what the fuck I just watched.
Yeah.
However, a nice no spoiler bit is that there's this fox character and what you are led to believe is a snake first off as like his scarf, and that's the mechanic of this hospital, right? And they like pop open the cola machine and like he feeds the snake into the cola machine so he can go in and fix stuff. And I was like, man, that's clever use of like animalistic things. Turns out the snake is actually a dragon and drinks some coffee and turns into like a big Japanese dragon thing with no, and like fire breathing, and they've got like calm him down and you're just like, the fuck. And oh mate, it's great. And the rat character, who's like the tech wizard, they send drones after the two protagonists, and he like just jumps onto one of them and like plugs in his games console so he can control it, and it's like, the fuck is going on? It's amazing but also really bad.
Yeah, I think you summed that up.
Mate, I did it no justice. I simultaneously did it no justice, but also hyped it up.
Yeah. You looked like a Charlie Day in that image, or that meme, when he's like putting all the conspiracies together.
I feel like
it.
Charlie Day in that bit where he's trying to connect all the dots. Yeah. What about you? What did you watch? Hopefully it was less questionable than what I watched.
No, nothing as mental.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a shame.
However, actually, let me get through... Okay, let me talk about the ones I've seen that I really liked, and then we'll talk about the one that you'll be happy to know that I watched.
Okay, I'm ready.
So, I rewatched Insomnia by Christopher Nolan, and that was at the Prince Charles Cinema. And I'd seen this before, and I always thought, yeah, it's all right. Like a Nolan movie that never really felt like Nolan to me before. Just thought it was like a decent thriller. Rewatching it, I was like, what the fuck was I talking about? This was incredible. It's fucking amazing. I was blown away by it. Like, Al Pacino's performance is brilliant in it. I think a lot of people get annoyed by the casting of Robin Williams in it, but I think they completely... For me, that's the genius of the casting, for me, is that he's got quite a kind face, and I think his character, you're supposed to sort of feel that way with him. But yeah, I don't want to say too much, but really liked it. I thought it was really good, really well written, tight. I thought, and actually, surprisingly, it did feel like a Nolan movie, just a very early one. It felt more in line with like Memento. The whole thing is that basically they go to, I can't remember where they go now, but it's always sunny. It never goes tonight at that time of the year. And Al Pacino's character can't sleep, and he's trying to solve this case. And also, he's haunted by, like, the case itself. He's trying to sleep. And, like, slowly through the movie, he's, like, it's affecting his judgment. He's, like, falling asleep on the wheel of a car. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, but you really feel, like, watching it, you feel like you're tired yourself. Like, you feel like you're in his shoes, and it's just masterfully done. But really, really enjoyed that. But then the following day, I went back to the Prince Charles Cinema to watch the Wachowskis' first movie, Bound, and I fucking loved it. Like, I fucking loved it. Like, I think it's fucking incredible. It's the premise is a lady who is a girlfriend to a mafia boss. She falls in love with a lady that lives in the hotel room next door, and together they come up with a plot to rob this money that he's recently got off him. It's a great pulpy sort of noir fucking like thriller type movie. It felt like a graphic novel, like even the way they frame things. Also, it's so pre-Matrix. Like, they're in leather. The score feels like they just pulled it out of the Matrix. The way it's shot, the way it's like all constructed. It's just masterfully done. I was sitting there the whole time thinking, how did the people that made this and the Matrix make the Matrix Reloaded and the Matrix Revelations? Which brings me to the final movie that I watched, Luke.
No!
On the last episode of this season, I finally finished The Matrix Revelations.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Yay, closure.
Yeah.
So, yes. What did you think?
So,
how did you feel about all the Jesus metaphors?
Oh, God. Well, I don't know if you know, but there is a lady that tried to sue the Wachowskis, claiming that she came up with The Matrix, and that it was supposed to be a sequel to Terminator, which when you put it together kind of makes sense. Like, the AI has taken over, Skynet has taken over, puts in this simulation. I mean, she's a very religious woman, and I thought, oh, it's a ludicrous, crazy woman thinking about it. But then I watched Matrix Revelations, and I was kind of like, no, you know what, I can kind of believe it more now. Like, it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's a very religious movie. Where do I start with this, Luke? Where do I start?
So, what was your favourite bit?
I liked the opening when they go to the vampire people, the werewolves and shit, whatever, and they're fighting them, and it's like, they're fighting them, like, on the walls.
Yes.
Because I was like, okay, that's cool. That feels like something that would be in the first, like, it felt like they were trying to do a new thing with the Matrix, but also using practical effects. I think where they lose me of the sequels is the overuse of CGI. Like, it's insane. Especially in this one, there's like 20 minutes, maybe even more, of just them shooting at these robotic things. And I'm like, what am I watching? This movie could be so much shorter. Like, I'm bored of just watching CGI explosions for like half an hour, I think, at one point. I was like, what is going on? I haven't seen Neo in like ages. What's going on?
Man, you're fucking brilliant.
Yeah. So, remember the last time I spoke about, I don't know if I mentioned it on the podcast, but I think I mentioned to you that I'd seen the opening.
Yes. Yeah. I think you didn't say that on air, though.
Oh, okay. I'd seen the opening, and I was like, this is way better than the Reloaded. What are people talking about? And then I got to the second act, where it's just this giant battle, and I was like, oh, okay, this is why, isn't it? Yeah, and it just gets a bit shit from there. But I do think it starts stronger than the Reloaded. It's really, I can't tell if I preferred Revelations when I was first watching it, because Reloaded was like
the fresh in your mind.
Well, it was the one that was like, oh, wow. I'd already accepted what has happened from Reloaded by the point I got to Revelations. You know what I'm saying? So I was already prepared, whereas with Reloaded, I wasn't prepared for, like, how shit.
Yeah, it does take it's a subtle but a noticeable, like, change in direction.
Yeah, and I didn't have a problem too much with some of the ideas in Revelations, I guess. I like the fight. I don't know.
Really?
I don't know. I can't decide. I think they're both equally shit. I'm not going to... I don't like saying things are shit. You know, I really like it, but, like, I think it really upsets me because you know how much I love The Matrix.
Thing is, as well, which you got to remember, which may taint your opinion of future, Matrix 4.
Yeah.
That's, like, they're all in it, so it's established as it's going to be a sequel, right? So it's going to be more like Reloaded and Revelations than the original Matrix 1.
Well, my hope is, because they're back, that it's kind of one of those things where they're like a Days of Future Past type situation, where it's like a soft reboot, and this is the actual sequel that we wanted. A man can only hope and pray, and that's what I'm praying for. So, yeah, not very good. Not a very good movie. I mean, it also feels like to me they've lost, the Wachowski sisters sort of lost their, even their framing, because what I love about their framing is that they feel very like graphic novel-y and very, I don't know, it's just very much them.
Mm.
And then it feels like with the sequels, they kind of lost that a little bit. It seems maybe not so much. I don't know. It just, the event of, I think because they had the budget to do whatever they wanted, that they didn't have any restrictions. They kind of just, they did whatever Does that make sense? Like sometimes I think restrictions help, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's like a common thing that limitations help with creativity.
Exactly, yeah. So I found that, also I found that, because I did a bit of research, cause I was like, how did they make Bound and fucking The Matrix and then make this? Bear in mind, I'm actually going to go through their filmography, so you guys maybe in season two I can go through a bit more on, if I can try and understand the Wachowskis and how they I haven't seen Speed Racer, which heard's really good. And Cloud Atlas, I haven't seen either, so I've still got some stuff to watch, which I've heard mixed things about. But yeah, I read that after The Matrix, they used to storyboard everything. So they storyboard everything, they'd go over it hundreds and hundreds of times. They spent a lot of time in pre-production. But they said apparently after The Matrix, they felt more comfortable to just improvise stuff, which I think's...
Pros and cons.
Yeah, so which I think's interesting because I think that's when I could really feel that.
Yeah.
Whereas I think that I like the approach they have with the Bound, where everything's like tight. I would highly recommend watching Bound, by the way, Luke. I think it's just fucking phenomenal. I think you'd really like it. It's a really good movie. The only thing, if I had to criticize anything about Bound, it would be just that the protagonists kind of seem to drop out a bit and it becomes someone else's movie for a bit. But
okay.
Other than that, I thought it was fucking amazing.
Do you think that it could be the reason that the later movies are less storyboarded and less quote-unquote tight, could be with like success and production pressure?
Possibly.
Like it's when you, like the first two films that they did in my brain now is this Bound and The Matrix. Mm. So they had all the time in the world to, like not all, well yeah, pre-production they had all the time in the world because that's when there's less money involved. But then the sequel to Matrix, they would probably had producers being like, cool, we want that sequel now. Give us a fucking sequel now. And especially with Revelations, they probably have had even less time. It was maybe very much like Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker and Endgame, where it's like, these films are coming out in 2 years. I don't care how you get to it, but this film is coming out in 2 or 3 years. Make it work.
Could be.
And so their pre-production suffered because of that.
Yeah. I just want to say, like, I think from Bound and The Matrix alone, like the Wachowskis are like some of my favorite filmmakers. So when I say that the sequels are shit, that's not me digging on them at all because I love them. It's more just the disappointment I feel because how much I like The Matrix. So yeah, we'll see. I'm very excited for what they do with The Matrix 4.
Mm.
But yeah, it could very well be that. You don't know these things, so you can't.
Yeah, it's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that stays behind the scenes.
And I need to watch their other films as well. So that was me.
That was you.
That was me.
Oh, very nice. So, unless you've got further interruptions, I'll ask the first audience-submitted question.
Audience questions. Sure.
Yeah. So, the first question I have here is, what film is awful for one of you, but an amazing film for the other?
Oh, that's a great question.
So, pretty much most of the films that you can think of, I probably think are shit.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I feel like we've had one on the podcast, or we've spoken about one before.
Kids. I know Kids. I did not like.
Kids I like.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
But I feel like...
But it's not like one I love. I didn't really like it.
As well, Kids is one of those films that you're not meant to like.
Yeah, yeah.
So well, by not liking it, you like it.
In a weird way. Yeah, it's supposed to be a hard watch. Yeah.
It's like that's... When you step away and go, I don't like this, that's what it wants you to... It doesn't want you to like it, so you're actually achieving its goal, so you should like it. But I haven't made that step. I'm just like... Not for me, and just like I'm like a child with Brussels sprouts, just pushing the plate away. I'm like, nah, I'm good.
It's
thank
a
you.
Tough watch. It's yeah, a very tough watch. Yeah, that's one. I'm trying to think.
Joker as well. I really like. Yes, I don't like. Such
that's
a
good example. I feel like there was one this year that I really liked and you didn't like. That come out. Oh, sorry, 2019, not this year, but 2020.
I think it's hard because I don't dislike a lot of films. Like I can go into most films, like even Spicy Species. Like
you can find
it has 14 reviews and is sitting at like a 2 on most rating sites, but I got enjoyment out of it. Like I enjoyed the batshit craziness. The Joker, like I know a lot of people like they don't like how he kills people and doesn't. There's no retribution for that. Or the dancing is like a lesser example. But then like I can look past bits and pieces and see what I enjoy. Old Boy. I remember that I enjoyed it, but you fucking love it.
Yeah,
same with Uncut Gems. I enjoyed it, you fucking love it. And then
yeah, but I'm very extreme, aren't I?
You are extreme. It's either you love it or it doesn't deserve to be on a disc.
Yeah, no, I think it's with me, it's like I don't I'm pretty similar in terms of like I very rarely like really dislike a film unless I feel, you know, a certain attachment and get crushed, you know, about Skywalker. But then for example, I was just thinking about one when you were talking about that. Once Upon a Hollywood, you wasn't a big fan, was you? Whereas I loved that one.
Yeah. But again, I feel that's similar to Uncut Gems. It's like, yeah. I like a lot of it. Yeah. I just don't like the lady, the Sharon Margot Tate. Robert. Yeah, Sharon Tate. Yeah. That involvement.
Yeah.
And like, the more I've thought about it, the more that opinion has solidified. Because somebody used the argument that it is twisting history so that it's a better outcome, which is, and somebody brought up the fact of Inglourious Basterds, and in my mind Inglourious Basterds is great, and I can look past the way that it's twisted history, and I can do that normally, but I feel that one handles it way better and is a much clearer twist of history, while this one is, I don't know, it's, I just don't,
you just didn't care
with it. I didn't, yeah, it's not, I find it very, I don't sweet. Vibe with it.
I think that's why. I find it very sweet. I find it a very sweet ending. I think it's actually one of Tarantino's sweetest endings to his movies, I guess. Maybe that and Jackie Brown as well.
Yeah, another one I think they feel need to very watch. Similar
in a lot of ways. But yeah, I think, I'm trying to think. Yeah, they were definitely the one. I think that we've listed them. I'm pretty sure there's one what you really dislike and I really like. And I know the Joker is the big one out of us two, if that answers the question. I think it does. I feel like we didn't give a really interesting answer, though.
Which is fine. This is fine.
It's tough. We're on the spot.
Yeah. We didn't plan anything. I don't have like a list of reviews to go through today.
No, it's weird, isn't it?
I have like a handful of questions. So
yeah,
we'll just chat. We're just enjoying it. We're reminiscing.
Reminiscing, mate. It's been a long fucking, I can't believe it, 50 episodes.
More.
Fuck, yeah. More than 50 episodes. Shit.
That's what it is. It's 52 weeks in a year. So this will be our 54th episode.
That's fucking mental. 54th.
I know, right? And some of those, it was just us, and we did multiple films. So we did in the region of like 55 to 60 films. That's a lot of movies.
That's a lot of movies. Yeah, I just hope, that answers the question, really.
I don't.
You don't? Yeah, that's classic Luke, really.
Yeah. Okay, so next question I've got. Who is your favourite guest?
Ooh, favourite guest?
That's it. That's the whole of the question. Who's your favourite guest?
Right, I'm going to break this down into categories, if that's all right.
Yeah, I feel that's nicer.
Yeah, I'm going to go break it into categories. So, I'm going to say favorite moment on the podcast.
Okay, I've got one.
So, right, you go first, favorite moment on the podcast.
My favorite moment of the podcast is the twist in Mamma Mia 2.
Oh, that was great. That was great.
Because that took everyone by shock and was just, it filled my heart with joy.
That was fantastic. That was a really good moment, actually.
And what about you?
For me, it would be when we were doing the Endgame reviews and the guy was shitting on superhero movies and Marvel films. And then it was revealed that he was a Zack Snyder fan.
DC fan.
And
yeah,
he liked
all
the DC movies. That was one of the funniest
reveals.
Another
good twist.
That was a great twist. Because we all just pissed ourselves laughing. And it was so perfect because I've actively spoken about those people before. So to bring that was great fun with Matt as well from 4-5 Videos. Really, really, really enjoyed that one. And then I was thinking about so that's best moment.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about guest with the most sort of facts.
Okay.
So do you want me to go first with this one?
Yeah. I feel you've got someone loaded in your brain.
So for me, the person who brought the most facts about their movie would be Julie for Singing in the Rain. When Julie came on to do Singing in the Rain?
Yeah.
She had a lot of good facts about stuff. I felt like I learned a lot that episode, which is why I think I picked that one.
Okay.
I really enjoyed that one as well. Do you feel about yours, maybe?
For me, I think it's a split in my brain because I completely forgot about Singing in the Rain. Because I'm an awful person. But the Willy Wonka episode with Connor. Because he had a lot of passion and was like just chatting away for the whole thing. And then Sean in episode 2 with The Big Lebowski. I remember us going through so many reviews and him. I don't remember him repeating himself. So that was a good one as well. Yeah.
That was good. Yeah, I think the Willy Wonka one, he had a lot of facts. I remember that actually. Connor did. Yeah, I enjoyed that one a lot. Especially the whole thing about Gene Wilder doing the little flip thing because he said it would say it, it says so much more about his character.
Because like, if you can't trust him to walk in front of you, what can you trust?
Which I fucking love that. Yeah. I really like that. Which is funny you said about Sean, because that brings me to my next one, which I was going to say, the funniest episode, we think. Personally, the episode that I think is the funniest still is episode 2 with the Big Lebowski. I even when I listen to it now, I howl with laughter. But I don't know if that's because of the film being so funny, and we're just talking about moments in the film and characters that are silly that I enjoy, rather than the actual podcast itself. I can't tell, but that's the one that comes to my mind first straight away.
Fair. For me, it's the twists, the hilarious twists of this.
Yeah.
Because every time I think like the Endgame one and the Mamma Mia one, as soon as I think about them, just a smile engulfs my face because I'm like, I caused this. This is hilarious.
Yeah, that was good. There was one, I remember one where you had a review, I can't remember what episode it was now, but you said a review and it was like the most ludicrous thing. It was like one line and it was something ridiculous.
Mate, a great
the fucking fountain. The fountain episode where you said about the tree cum.
Tree cum.
That was fucking funny.
That was great.
Yeah, that was funny.
And also, a more recent episode, The Last Jedi, it made me cum blood.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. That was funny. I enjoyed that. We've had a lot of good times.
People are great. I love negative reviews because sometimes they got a good point and sometimes they're just batshit crazy.
Yeah, no. I enjoy them. I love the mix of them. Especially when you start with a silly one because it just gets me ready for what's about to come.
Cum tree.
Fuck it. It's funny because we all knew what they were talking about as soon as I mentioned it. So if you've seen The Fountain, people out there, you would know exactly what we're talking about with the cum tree.
Cum tree.
And then I was going to say, like, just best chat, like, that we had, like, a really good chat.
That's harder for me because I feel like the majority of our episodes have been good chats.
Oh, 100%. I agree. If you had to pick one, it's tough, difficult because I think to do this, it's like, this is not discrediting any other guests that we've had. I feel like we've had so many great guests on. This is just ones that stand out in my head right now. Because for me, like the best, one of the best chats I feel like was the Eternal Sunshine with Adam.
Oh yeah, well, we spoke about love and shit.
Yeah, I just like that because we really got deep and we spoke about stuff that wasn't just about the film and spoke more about the sort of, I guess, essentially the philosophy of like love and shit.
That's a good shout. That is.
I feel like we had a really interesting chat. All of us had different perspectives on it and I really enjoyed that one. I think it was a really good discussion.
Yeah.
I think it's good to do this because I think as well, if people haven't listened to this, I mean, please go check out some of them. Obviously, if you've seen the film.
That's the thing. Like, I know for a fact that the majority of people don't listen to some of our episodes because they haven't watched the film.
That's very fair.
And then a good chunk of those people are very much like me, where they're like, oh yeah, I'll watch that film. And then 6 months later, maybe they've watched it.
Never get around to it. Yeah.
So yeah. But I find a lot of the episodes you can listen to without seeing the film, especially depending on how well the guest was able to like sum up the plot or just give enough information. Because there are some films that if I was a listener, I'd probably never watch. Like The Fountain, for example. I think if it wasn't for this podcast, I would never have watched The Fountain.
Yeah.
But I feel like we spoke enough about it that you didn't need to watch it without getting some enjoyment from that episode, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I enjoyed those as well. They were really good. The kids and the Fountain episodes of Sean. Also with Harry with the Lord of the Rings.
Yes, Lord of the Rings. He was so researched for that.
No, he was.
Fucking really nerd. Nah, I love you, Harry. But that does bring me on to a good question, though. The next question, actually.
Okay.
Of the films that we've done that you hadn't watched before we had to record them, what's been your favourite film?
The ones I hadn't seen before.
Yeah. So I don't know how much that's going to limit your, because I know for it's not going to limit that much, let's be honest here. Like, what have been your favourite sort of films that we've done since starting the podcast that you've only watched for the podcast?
Okay, so should I list off the ones that I hadn't seen before we're doing the podcast, and then, so people know what I've chosen it out of, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Otherwise they'd be like, why didn't you choose Oh, for Christmas.
Which is one of the ones that you didn't see, isn't it?
That is.
Yeah.
Actually. But I really enjoyed that movie. I really like that movie. Right, so the films that I haven't seen before we recorded the podcast, were Synecdoche, New York, Arthur Christmas, Brave, The Fountain, and The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Okay. A nice little list there.
So that was, they were the four. Wait, that's more than four, is it? That's more than four. Five, Charlie can't count. That's five?
Yeah.
So the five fucking movies that have the five. My favourite would probably be Synecdoche, New York.
Oh, okay. Yes.
I think I was just mind boggled by the whole thing of like, how did someone write this and make this, and how did it work?
Mm.
Probably one of the most existential movies I've ever seen, and The Fountain's on this list. So it would probably be a toss up of the two, but I did really like The Nightmare Before Christmas as well.
Good, because I was about to feel very offended.
Yeah, no, I did like that as well. I enjoyed all these movies, all five of these actually. But yeah, Synecdoche for me, I think it stuck with me for a while after watching it. I was sort of contemplating my own existence after watching the fucking thing. And I think a movie that makes you think after seeing it is always a good one. Well, not always a good one, but it's done its job, or it's got some good value to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I really like that. And also Philip Seymour Hoffman's one of my favorite actors of all time. So just to see him be incredible as always was just great. Big fan of Charlie Kaufman as well. So yeah, I really enjoyed that one. That would probably be my favourite of the five. Luke, what ones have you not seen, and what is your favourite?
Okay, so I didn't list them. I just have a picture of the canvas that will be the icon for this episode.
Okay,
so I'm going to very quickly say these ones. So the ones I hadn't seen before the podcast would be The Fountain, Memento, Treasure Planet, Creed, Kids, True Romance, Fifth Element, Goodfellas, Train to Busan, Starship Troopers, Her, and Children of Men. I believe that's all of them. Yeah. So that's like 12. And my favorite of those is probably Her.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Shit. Just because Her was like...
I didn't know you liked her that much. That's really cool.
Yeah, I really liked Her. But like, it was one of those that had been recommended to me such a long time ago.
Mm.
So I think me of the past would have enjoyed that way more, but I still like I can imagine younger me enjoying it way more, and that's rubbed off a little bit, and I'm like, yeah, it's probably my favorite of all of them because I should have watched it back then.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great fucking movie as well. A film that I feel like it's kind of gone missing a bit in terms of the people speaking about it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
I don't feel people really speak about that movie anymore. But I remember at the time, everyone was talking about it. But then it's kind of just, which is a shame because I think it's very good and I think it's very still relevant.
Yeah, I think it's because when you boil it down to guy falls in love with phone, it's not a super appealing plot synopsis, is it?
No, it's not. That's really interesting. Mm. You had a lot on there as well to go.
Yeah,
through.
Like 12 films. My God, I thought I was way more film savvy.
True Romance as well, which is like one of my personal favorite films as a kid. I mean, even still, it's in my heart of all time.
Yeah, but I have a colder heart now, so.
Oh, right, yeah. It's died with all these negative reviews you have to read out.
Exactly. Nah, it's made my heart beat more for these negativity.
You live for the negativity.
I do. It's so good. It's so good.
Out of all those films that you hadn't seen, though, because you've got quite a few there, what one do you think you would rewatch the most or rewatch again, for example, out of all of those? So, like, for Her could be your favourite, but, like, one that you might, like, say, like, for example, like, you might want to rewatch Starship Troopers because, I don't know, it's a good, fun action movie, or True Romance because the same thing, or
yeah.
Fifth Element, or whatever.
Yeah, I can understand your question. The issue is, right,
yeah,
and this is where it boils down to how people pick their quote-unquote favourite films,
yeah,
is that I pick my favourite depending on rewatchability.
Oh, okay.
So, like,
that is true. Yeah.
Wreck-It Ralph as my favourite film, I could watch multiple times in a day, while someone could come on with their favorite film being Kids, probably not want to watch that multiple times a day. Yeah. Or, well, no, we're just picking on Kids now. What other films have we got? Train to Busan. Nah, Train to Busan was great. You should rewatch that one. Synecdoche, New York. Synecdoche, New York, because I feel, though you'd want to rewatch it, you probably don't want to do a showing. Have something to eat and then do a showing again immediately afterwards. You want some time to like let that
breathe. I need
some
space for that movie. I think I'll watch it for a while. It's one of those movies like it's tough to watch. Like there's certain movies like I really love, but like I don't feel the need to want to rewatch again. because of like how harrowing they are. It depends like how I feel, but something like Requiem for a Dream or something like that, for example, like I haven't watched it in a long time since I first watched it. Or I think I've seen it like twice, but because of the whole, the way it makes you feel like fucking shit after watching it. So, you know what I mean? You have to be in a certain mood to watch films like that. It depends. So yeah, her, I know what you mean though, because it's very sort of monotone, isn't it? It's very, you know, you can sort of stick it on. It's quite, kind of flows by, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's got a nice like pacing to it.
Yeah.
And not to discredit it, but you could probably dip out and dip back in.
I know. Like, I can't you could know what
do
you mean,
something
as
else
as,
and have it in the background. Yeah, you should always appreciate. But then it'll be the second viewing, so you can appreciate it a little less.
I know.
That said, Memento as well. That one was really good. I think for the timeline structure, you might want to watch that. But I remember I was upset about the pacing for Memento, so maybe I wouldn't want to watch
that
one
again.
That
was weird. Because I always think the pacing's great. But yeah, no, in terms of me for rewatchability, I mean, it's tough for out of the five.
Out of your five.
Ooh.
Because that's the thing. Our favourite films have been done this year. So if it was out of all of them, Wreck-It Ralph, obviously.
Out of the five, it'd probably be Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, it's because it's the best one on there. Nah.
Because like, Synecdoche, New York and The Fountain. I mean, that's a double bill for if you want to be depressed for a month.
Questioning yourself.
And After Christmas was really good and Brave was really good. But I don't think they have quite the originality that the Nightmare Before Christmas has.
So. Oh yeah, Nightmare Before Christmas, just it's fucking crazy. Yeah. It's great. I love it.
The songs are great as well. Can have a little sing song with it, a little sing along.
Perfect November film. There you go. Watch it every day in November.
It's the only November.
And the Christmas hats. So it is a Christmas movie.
It's true, it's got Christmas hats in it. Which is what we've confirmed now.
Yeah. I feel if we ever do merch, Christmas hats equal Christmas movie does need to be some sort of merchandise.
The people need to know.
Yeah, just spread the message far and wide.
Yeah, and he does. There is Christmas hats in Die Hard, so it is a Christmas movie.
There we go.
Yep.
Statement confirmed. Yep. Okay, so wow, we've rambled for a little bit. I have a surprise for you, Charlie.
Go on, mate.
And the surprise is that one of these questions, it was, are you guys going to have a Golden Globes episode going over what you thought of the winners and what happens beside that? However, I didn't want to talk about the Golden Globes because, you know, after the winners and whatever happened in the BAFTAs, Oscars, the Golden Globes, afterwards, you just look at the winners. You just go, oh, okay, this person won. Do I agree with that? Do I not agree with that? I think this other person should have won or not won. And I thought, let's change that.
Okay.
Let's have the first ever Yafia Awards.
Yafia.
So yeah, Yafia is Your Favorite Film is Awful, but
the acronym.
And I feel that's a nice way of saying it. So
Yafia.
Let's make sure that we all know you say it, Yafia.
Yafia. Okay.
However, because it is the first ever one, there's going to be very few categories. There's going to be five categories.
Okay.
I hope you can deal with that. So,
this is weird. We've got our own little awards.
Yeah, we've got our own little awards. We're going to have like the little golden camera.
Okay.
That'll be our award thing.
Perfect.
When we get all the money, we can make little camera statues and give them to people.
Give them to Bong Joon-ho.
We could be the next BAFTAs and Oscars.
Oh, wow.
You're going to have the mask. You're going to have the little golden
man. It will
say
your favourite film is awful on it. No. They'll just be like...
That's why we change it to Yafia.
Yafia.
Because that way, it's just an acronym. And nobody. It's like, if you ask the common person what BAFTA means, are they going to know?
That's what you're saying, yeah.
They're probably going to go British...
Or Oscars.
Something, yeah. Oh, is Oscars a no?
No, he's no, but it's just like, what is it?
Yeah, no.
Some dude called just, Oscar?
Yeah. He was like...
I think I actually know this, but I've just forgotten this.
It's in the zeitgeist somewhere.
I'm pretty sure I found out before.
But you put your fear, let them think up what it means, and we'll know, and listeners will know. But we don't actually need to tell anyone.
Yeah.
So the categories that we've got are Best Feature, Best Director, Best Actor, Best Actress, Most Awful Films of 2019. And the spin of this one is that the nominees... were all submitted by our listeners.
Oh, shit. So we don't decide. We have to
We're deciding.
That
we're
makes more sense. I was
out of their list.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Yeah. So I thought it was a nice little
democracy.
Spin.
Democracy.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, slight democracy. It's like in the Simpsons movie where they give the Arnold Schwarzenegger character. What's?
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah.
And it's like, okay, you've got five options. I pick number three. Don't you want to read it? Number three.
Yeah.
This is what is going to happen.
Okay.
Okay, so are you ready?
I'm ready, mate.
So the best feature nominees are Uncut Gems.
Yes.
Avengers Endgame.
Okay.
The Lighthouse.
Yes.
Parasite.
Fantastic.
Joker. Mate, that pause was beautiful. It was a beautiful pause. Charlie's Angels, which was a joke submission, but it's going to be counted.
Great, I can't believe it.
Booksmart.
Great.
Knives Out.
Brilliant.
For Summer.
Oh, okay, shit, I haven't seen that. Fuck. That's bad.
There was such a questioning tone, because I wasn't sure if that came out in 2018 or not.
Fuck, yeah, I haven't seen that.
Yeah. Marriage Story. And 1917. Those are our nominees.
Wow,
yeah, a lot. It's one of those. A lot of people have a lot of different tastes. Yeah. So,
best feature.
Best feature.
So, how are we doing this? Are we both just going to pick one?
I feel we're going
to have a negotiation.
Yeah, we're both going to have to go, okay, which one? And then, if we don't agree, we're going to have to fight to the death.
Okay, okay. We have to debate why. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I'm trying to be different because... Okay, I'm not trying to be different. This is actually my favourite movie of 2019. But I'm also saying it because the film that I would have also chosen won. So I'm going to go for Uncut Gems as best picture of the year for me. As much as I loved most of all those other ones you just said, and I think any of them could take the spot, I'm going to go with Uncut Gems just because I'm going to be thinking about the movie for a very long time.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. For me... Like it's a bit hard because neither of us watched For Summer, and I was umming and ahhing between 1917 and Joker for quite a while, until I realized that Parasite.
Parasite, yeah.
So my pick of those nominations is of course Parasite.
Okay.
My reasoning is it fucking won everything, so it might as well win here as well.
All right. Okay. Well. I can't argue with that. And it was what I was going to say, but I thought it'd be different to the Oscars, but you picked it, so...
No. There's no need. It deserves it.
You're right. The your FIFA award for best feature. The UEFA. Why is that what you said? UEFA. No, UEFA. There's no other F.
Yeah, there's no FIFA. We're not playing football.
Yeah. The UEFA award for best picture goes to Parasite.
Parasite. Well deserved.
Hits from the bong.
I love how we say that as if it means anything currently. But
no.
Come the third one, it'll be high esteem.
People like Brad Pitt's in the room. Like he's got a speech prepared for best supporting, which we don't have.
We don't have that as a category.
but
who knows? Maybe he was nominated for just best actor. It's one of those we don't have supporting, so they can get the best actor.
That
who really knows? I do because I have the list in front of me.
Okay.
Best Director.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, so for this one, again, we have Bong Joon-ho.
Hits from the bong.
The Safdie Brothers.
My boys.
Robert Eggers.
My boy.
Jordan Peele.
My boy. Oh, wow. Damn. Okay.
Sam Mendes.
Okay, shit. Okay, yeah.
Olivia Wilde.
Oh, fuck. Fuck.
Quentin Tarantino.
Shit, what are they doing to me? I forgot the list this year.
Bo Burnham.
Fuck. Yeah, but that was last year, 8th grade.
Oh, was it? Oh yeah, sweet. Yeah. Fucking
so
cut that
from
me.
Off of that, so we'd have to worry about another too many good people on the list.
Too many good people.
Fuck.
It's one of those, I should have fact-checked. I apologize, listener, for wasting your time.
Guys, no Ryan Johnson, you know? What's going on?
Yeah, but he got the best feature nominee, so come on, you got to balance it out. Okay, not everyone has that track mind of giving the same person all of the awards. But yeah, and of course, for those at home who don't know the films, that is Parasite, Uncut Gems, Lighthouse, Us, 1917, Booksmart, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, respectively.
Shit.
I assume they could have released multiple films. I just assume that's the big ones that they're all going to talk about.
Again, wanting to be different.
Okay, interesting.
I'm going to go for... This is tough. Do you all know what I'm torn between?
Yeah, go on.
So I'm torn between, obviously, Bong Joon-ho, the Safdies, and Quentin Tarantino.
Interesting.
Because I think Tarantino's direction in this movie, he kind of, not stepped up, because he's always been great, but there was a level of, maturity. Not that he's not a mature director anyway. I hate when people say that anyway, but about this movie, that, and it's quite sweet. It's quite, out of all of his movies, it's very sweet. I think that's one of the reasons why I would choose it. However, I do think it's not as tight paced-wise as something like Parasite and Uncut Gems. So, do you know what? I know what's going to happen. The same thing we did with the last one's going to happen again. But I'm going to go for the Safdies just because it'll be different.
You're going to go with the Safdies?
But then, you know, Luke's good. Let's see what Luke picks. Luke, who are you going for?
Look. Bong Joon-ho.
Yeah, do you know what? Scrap it.
No, no. I haven't finished my fucking
sentence. Okay. All right.
I haven't finished.
Okay. It's so good.
He's up there.
Oh, he's up there. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Look. I jumped to the gun.
We only have five.
You already convinced
awards.
Me to even say anything. I was always like, Bong. Because I want to vote Bong. I was just trying to make it a bit different
that's
to the
fair,
Oscars.
That's fair. But the thing is, right, this is only the two of us. And we don't have the credibility right now. So we've only got
Pick
five
yourself.
Awards. Shut the fuck up. Look at yourself. What do you say? Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
It's true. Big dicks
rest
in your ass
of the lyrics.
Above yourself.
Damn it. Look, we've only got five awards, right? And even if you'd picked it, my argument would be, let's not give all of our awards to Parasite.
Yes. Do you have one for best screenplay? Because then we'd have...
No.
Oh, that'd have been a shame.
So, I'm going to give my pick, my selection,
go
to Jordan Peele.
Oh, okay.
For us.
I can listen to that. Oh, shit. So now we're with the Safdies and Jordan Peele.
Uncut Gems versus us.
We both would pick Ron Bong, really. We know this, don't we? But...
Well, I think if this was a bigger crew,
yeah. We'd end up with
Bong. Because he was just, it was fucking amazing. Yeah. But he's already got a best feature. There's only two of us.
He's got the Oscar.
We decide.
Does he need the Ophir?
He doesn't. He doesn't need that much gold in his life.
No, he doesn't.
It's fine.
Well, he might be getting a statue. Have you heard about this?
He's getting a statue.
Korea are talking about building a statue of him.
I mean, well deserved.
It's pretty fucking awesome. Yeah. Well deserved. Okay, so it's the Safdie brothers versus Jordan Peele. Wow.
Us versus Uncut Gem.
Wow. I'm going to say the reason I would pick the Safdies is because of the constant build of tension and anxiety that they build. Because not only is that in the script, yeah, but the camera being so claustrophobic with a lot of people in the frame at once and a lot of cuts and movement. Like, it's so seamless, even though they're moving the camera quite a bit. That's why I would argue the Safdies for my pick for best director. I just think it to construct the whole movie and to create a pace that runs throughout and constantly makes you feel like, oh, what is he doing? Like, and stressed. And it never really loses its momentum. It keeps going. That's a very difficult thing to do. And I think that's why I'm going to pick the Safdies for best director. Also, I think visually Good Time's a beautiful movie anyway. But I think with this one, they really kind of stepped it up. And that's a budget thing. And also just having more experience as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. But going off that, about the whole visual thing.
Oh, yeah.
Can you honestly tell me that, like, icon imagery, that Uncut Gems, if you were to see... Like, if someone wants to pick one picture of Uncut Gems and one picture of us, you would have a stronger connection to Uncut Gems instead of the iconic image of the silhouettes at the top of the driveway or the knives with the glove and the, what are they, like, boiler suit?
Jumpsuit.
Yeah, the red boiler suit.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much, the camera work, how is, like, the framing, the state, the blocking... It's really well done. Plus, there's quite comedic elements involved that, like, help ease you. I know for a fact that you fucking love the bit where the guy gets on the boat and, like, puts his hands on his hips, like, meh, meh.
Yeah, dude, yeah.
Like, come on.
And
yes, that probably is in the script that he gets on the boat, looks around, going, meh, meh. But that delivery.
Is that how you imagined what he was saying? Meh, meh.
You know, it's been a little while. That's why I started off with a losing battle here, because Uncut Gems is a fairly recent film for us.
It's true. However, I'm not against this Jordan Peele argument. I do think as well, he, as much as I think Get Out is more important, I do think he does step it up as a director visually, and it feels... I mean, for example, the bit where it's cut in between... The dance, the ballet dance,
yes,
and the end fight.
Yeah,
the way that's choreographed is, I was like, oh shit, that's pretty fucking damn good. And the bit where the kid clicking, walking back with the fire.
Yes.
So I do kind of want to give it to Jordan Peele as well. I'm such a big fan of the Safdies. It's difficult. The thing that's actually making me decide that it could be the Jordan Peele is the fact that it's a horror movie.
Mm.
And it's very rare that we have the opportunity to give a horror movie a Best Director award. So I think we could.
Yeah? You think so?
I feel bad. I feel like I haven't really supported my boys enough. But it's... He's my boy as well.
Yeah,
it's
they're all your boys.
I think it's more just how much I liked Uncut Gems connects with me personally. Because I really like the stuff like them going in through the gem and coming out of him having his mouth inspected. Like there's loads of things like that and going back in because it kind of made me feel that this is just one story in the universe like that's going to happen. This is going to... I mean, like... And it kind of made me feel that this... Opal did have some sort of mystical... I mean, like me and a friend of mine were saying, like, it almost feels like in another movie you'll find out that some guy had the gem and died as well. Like whoever touches the gem is like to do with death. Like also set up at the start with the guy getting the gem dying or hurting his leg. Fuck it. You know what? Because Us has been pushed out of the way.
It has been.
And Uncut Gems, they got the Independent Spirit Awards for Best Director, so they got that. But let's give Jordan Peele the Ophir Awards because, you know, no one... He didn't get any recognition whatsoever because his movie came out earlier in the year.
Exactly. And
it's bullshit.
That bullshit time bias.
Fuck it. Let's give Jordan Peele Best Director.
Fuck yeah.
But I do want to give it to the Safdies, though.
It's too late.
The thing is, though...
You've said it now. It's locked in.
You said Bong Joon-ho as well. Like, Bong Joon-ho should get it, really.
He's had enough. He doesn't need more.
I do want the Safdies to win, but we'll see. They might make something else that blows Uncut Gems out of the wall.
Exactly.
I feel like my friends who listen to this are going to be like, Charlie, what are you doing? You've been talking about Uncut Gems. You couldn't even... But I was like, yeah, but I do really like Us. Yeah. And they know I really love Us as well. And I do kind of want to give it to Jordan Peele because a lot of people moan about tonal shifts and stuff. And that movie did that a lot. And I thought it did it fantastically.
It did do, but I think it did it very well.
I think so.
It was one of the better examples.
Also, it's a horror movie. I feel like I've justified it. Let's give it to Jordan Peele. Fuck it.
Jordan Peele. Best director of 2019 according to the Fear Awards.
Yeah.
Okay, so next category. Are you ready?
Go on.
Best actor. Tom Holland.
What? For Spider-Man?
Okay. Unfortunately, they didn't tell me, so...
Just Tom Holland.
Fair. Robert Pattinson. Willem Dafoe.
Wait, hold on. Oh, yes, of course, yeah.
Roman Griffin Davis.
Okay.
Adam Sandler. Joaquin Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Adam Driver.
Oh, you know what? My mind was made up and then you said the last name. I was like...
You did this, guys.
For me, it's a battle of the Adams.
Ah, Sandler and Driver.
Yeah. Adam Driver is fucking phenomenal. I think he's one of my favourite actors at the moment. Like, hands down, almost. Like, current. But then Adam Sandler is Adam Sandler. And the fact that he pulled this role out of the bag... And he's so good in it. Like, it's an iconic character, isn't it? And whether that's down to the Safdies as well, are we going to be thinking about Adam Driver's character in Marriage Story? Or are we going to be thinking about Howie? Howard Ratner. But then it's different. They're very different movies, aren't they? Adam Driver gives such a good performance. Okay. I feel like, you know what? It should go to Adam Driver.
Okay.
But I'm going to give it to Adam Sandler.
Interesting.
Because I've let down my boys already.
Okay.
But not getting him. And Uncut Gems deserves...
Something.
Something.
Okay.
So Adam Sandler is going to be my pick for best actor.
Okay, my turn. My turn, spotlight.
Go on.
Now, when Joker came out, I immediately said Joaquin Phoenix's performance was amazing.
Yeah.
And he deserves awards for it. He deserves recognition.
Yeah.
The thing is, he got it.
Yeah.
So he doesn't need it here.
Okay. This is the Yafir Awards.
This is the Yafir Awards. These are my awards and our awards. See, so we can decide what the fuck we want.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I haven't seen The Lighthouse, so I can't say whether or not Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe...
Oh, they're fucking phenomenal. Willem Dafoe really good as well.
There was never a doubt in my mind. No,
yeah.
I just...
You haven't seen it. Yeah,
exactly. Sorry. Adam Driver, Marriage Story, I'm sure he's amazing. Unfortunately, I've only seen him in The Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, shit, you haven't seen him. Fuck.
I haven't seen it yet. It's one of those. It's sat on Netflix. It's waiting for me. Yeah. It's calling my name. However, at time of recording, I just I've had some extra shit. Yeah, I had to watch My Hero Academia.
Fair, okay.
Roman Griffin Davis, Jojo Rabbit, young little lad. Fucking killed it.
Very good.
However, young little lad, is that going to be his last movie role? Probably not.
No.
I'm giving it, and together we're giving it to Adam Sandler.
Yeah! My man!
And my reasoning is that whilst I was watching it, I didn't see Adam Sandler.
No. Like Howard Ratner.
Yeah. He was Howie. He was this piece of shit human being.
Yeah.
Not the funny guy from all those films that I watched.
Yeah.
So I just, it connected with him. Well, it didn't connect, but like, he lost himself in that role to the point where I wasn't seeing him anymore. And so he deserves recognition. He deserves the Spirits Award and the Yafir Award.
Fantastic. Do you think he's sitting there now listening to this podcast saying, this is me. This is how I win. He won the Yafir Awards and that's what really matters.
Yeah, that's what matters.
Yeah, not the Independent Spirit Awards.
No, no, no.
The Yafir Awards.
Yeah. I wonder if he listened to all that pre-ramble before we got to this point.
Of course, he's a big fan, I've been told.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler, if you can just let everyone else know in your friendship group, you know.
If the Safdie, we'd love to get the Safdies on.
Yeah. We'd love to get you on.
I'd love to just pick their brain. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we just have to pick your brains, really. Yeah. And then you can come on the podcast.
you know, have less of our friends and more of high-end celebrities.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so we've done the actors. Now it's time for the actresses.
Okay.
So, best actress of 2019. Scarlett Johansson. Lupita Nyong'o. Samara Weaving. Margot Robbie. Reese Witherspoon.
I like Samara Weaving in Ready or Not, but it's not necessarily a performance that compares to that of Scarlett Johansson and Lupita Nyong'o's, in my opinion. So for me, it's out of those two. And the thing is with this is that Scarlett Johansson's fantastic in both Jojo Rabbit and Marriage Story. So she's got like two that I'm like, does she get it because she's so good in both of them?
That is the question.
That being said, Lupita Nyong'o gives the most iconic performance.
Yeah, the voice?
In Us.
My God.
And a thing that you'd feel like on paper, if you heard, oh, I'm going to do a voice for it, you'd be like, that shouldn't work. Do you know what I mean? But it's fucking terrifying.
Yeah, she definitely put in the work for that role.
And she's brilliant. And you know what? She didn't get fucking nominated, which was bullshit. So,
Lupita Nyong'o. I guess that's another horror snub, isn't it?
Lupita Nyong'o is getting my best pick, my pick for best actress.
Okay. I have a similar thinking. Reese Witherspoon, I personally don't remember seeing anything with her in it, so that's just my personal bias that I can't give her the award.
Yeah, I don't.
Margot Robbie, again, I know she was good in Bombshell.
Haven't seen Bombshell.
But I didn't watch it. It was one of those. It just didn't.
This is the problem with the. Yeah. We were supposed to watch them all. I know, guys. This is the problem with the Oscars.
Look, let's be honest to you, listener. I threw out the hey, who wants to give us some nominees for these categories? 2 days before recording, we had no chance to check this material. Samara Weaving, amazing in Ready or Not. It's great, but you're right. It does just become a toss-up between ScarJo and Lupita. And I want to give it to Lupita.
Mm.
However, I have the data in front of me, and I feel it would be wrong for us not to have a discussion because ScarJo got more nominations than anything in any other category.
Wow. Shit, yeah.
And like 100 people went through and nominated. They didn't nominate in all the fucking categories, obviously. But ScarJo just kept getting those nominations.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that though. And also, again, us is not in people's brains.
It's not. Again, yeah. It's as we just said.
She was talking about Scarlett Johansson was a lot in the Oscar race. Yeah. Like, I mean, it was all there.
But the problem is, right? I only saw her in Jojo Rabbit, and between those two, I can't give ScarJo the award for best actress for her performance in Jojo, but I can give it to Lupita in Us.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a mental struggle for you because it's a question of is ScarJo's naturalistic acting in Marriage Story of a higher or slightly less, but still quite high, quality to Lupita's acting in Us?
I don't think you can really compare, but the only thing I will say is I think Lupita had a more difficult job. To even be considered in this conversation for a horror movie performance where she's playing the villain
and the hero
is very rare. And as much as I love Scarlett Johansson, I think she should get it. The thing that my mind keeps coming back to is fucking Lupita should have been nominated at very least. And it's her, I think it's not taking credit away from what Scarlett Johansson does, because she does an incredible job. I mean, I'm struggling to pick between the two.
Yeah.
But Lupita, I feel like, had a more difficult task in front of her. So, and she pulled it off magnificently. So, I'm going to go for Lupita Nyong'o.
Lupita Nyong'o.
Yeah, Best Actress.
Best Actress, 2019, your Fear Awards, right here. You've heard it here first.
There you go.
Okay, so, are you ready for the final category?
Go on.
So, the final category is, as I've already mentioned, Most Awful. It fits our brand.
It does.
Your favourite film is awful. The Awful Award. So,
Most I feel bad awful. Doing this, because I don't like being negative.
Maybe we should get that
and
on
this
a
is
t-shirt
not the,
as
this
well.
This is not... This is not... Yeah, we should, I say it so much. And it's not... you know, and this is not the purpose of the podcast, to
look,
be negative. But...
If the winner of this nomination listens back to this and feels offended, just remember... We're not picking on the film. We're not saying that this film is shit or bad quality or anything. It was just of a lesser quality than the other films that came out. It's like comparing a bigger piece of gold to a smaller piece of gold. They're both golden. They're
maybe
both precious, but one was ever so slightly superior.
Maybe, because the film I'm going to pick, if it's on there, and I hope it is on there, is... You know, I don't like to be negative, but there's times when I relish in it, and I will relish in it with this one, and we'll hear and see if it's nominated first.
Okay.
Before we go, come.
So, the film nominees for Most Awful are Dark Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
Ma.
I'll never see that.
Cats. Charlie's Angels.
Got not ever Best Feature and Most Awful. Fantastic.
Yeah, I did. Ad Astra.
How dare you.
5 Feet Apart. Men in Black International.
What? That didn't even come out this year, did it? Oh, no, it did come out this
it
year.
Did come
fuck,
out
I forgot about that.
Last Christmas and Star Wars 9, Rise of Skywalker.
What a tough...
I wonder what he'll pick.
What a tough decision we have here, ladies and gentlemen. I would go for... don't know. What do you reckon, Luke? This is very tough. Not.
I think your emotions blind you.
Yeah, maybe they do, Luke, but I want to give it this award. The Rise of Skywalker, Most Awful. It deserves it, okay? It fucking... I'm sorry. It's ruined the Star Wars saga. I sound like such a fucking... Well,
you're
I've become
such
the
a little
very,
fucking fanboy.
I've become the very thing I swore to destroy. I've become the very thing. I'm not going to shit on it too much, but you've heard me talk about it for 2-hour-long podcasts and 4-5 videos episodes. You've heard me talk about it enough on here. You don't need to hear me talk about
it. I feel
it anymore.
This category for this year... Yep. Isn't actually going to be a debate between us. It's going to be me trying to convince you that a different film was worse than how you felt.
Yeah.
My pick is Charlie's Angels.
Okay.
My reasoning for Charlie's Angels is the same reason I gave way back when I actually watched it. And this is the trip I want to take you on. Okay, so The Rise of Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, yes or no, were you bored? You were upset. You were surprised.
On the third viewing, I was bored.
On the but who watches
and
a
the
film
second
three
and
times?
No, on the second viewing, I was bored. I was bored in the second viewing.
Yeah, but who watches a film twice in the same day? Because that's the thing that
listeners
times in
the
have
same.
To know is that you watched it 3 times in 24 hours.
Yes.
Who does that? Who does that with a film they don't like?
Depressed people who are trying to clutch at everything they can to love that movie.
Fools.
I tried so hard.
So... Taking a step away, right? Because let's be honest, that first viewing, though displeasurable, you were not bored.
Yeah.
Charlie's Angels, I have seen once.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen nonce.
Nonce?
Nonce?
I'm a nonce. Cheers, mate.
You are a nonce, but that's fine. You've seen 0 times. Now, you went in with high expectations for The Rise of Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
Some may even say too high. I went into Charlie's Angels with... No expectations, too low expectations, and it still failed them.
Okay, I agree with your point. And in any other case, I would say you're probably right. However, does Charlie's Angels ruin the other movies for you?
I don't know, because I haven't watched them.
Yes. Are you going to be thinking about Charlie's Angels next year?
No, but again, that's... Because the issue here, right, is that we've got one film on its own.
But it's a reboot of the franchise.
Exactly, and my golly, from what I've heard, it shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Yes, but if you'd watched The Rise of Skywalker on its own, because a surprising number of people do like The Rise of Skywalker, and an unsurprising lack of people like Charlie's Angels.
But the question is, I'm going to be haunted by this movie for the rest of my life. For the rest of my life. I'm not going to be thinking about Charlie's Angels. I'm going to be haunted
for the rest of... You didn't watch it, that's why.
I know, but even if I watched it, I would forget about it probably the next day. Maybe the hour after I've seen it. I'm going to be haunted by it for the rest... It's not left me. There's a part of me now that is missing. That was taken away from me. I sound like such a fucking...
You do, nerd. You do.
I'm such a fucking little fanboy. I'm aware. But it is,
Okay.
I've tried in all my heart to forgive the movie. I really am. I really have. You know, I believe in forgiveness. And you know me, Luke. You know, I don't like to be like this. This hurts me. I'm very hurt. But I've got to give it to it. I mean, this is the most prestigious award of all time.
It is.
For UEFA. And people need to know.
I love that you can't say it.
I can't fucking say it. I can't say it. And people need to know.
Okay. Look, you stepped back and you allowed Jordan Peele to win because of my reasoning.
Okay.
So in this circumstance, I will step back and accept that Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker, deserves the most awful film of 2019 in the Yaphir Awards.
It does.
Which means it won. It won in one of the categories.
Now you put it like that. Maybe it shouldn't.
Hey, you're the one that gave it.
Yeah, definitely. Yes.
Yes. But yeah, that was all five awards.
Fuck, that was fun. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I really did. I feel we definitely need to do this next year.
We should
year.
Keep this up every year,
Yeah. Fuck best top 10 films of Charlie and Luke. Actually, no, we'll keep that in because that was a nice December thing for the end of the year.
Yeah.
Also, it's fucking March now, and we're doing a fucking film awards for last year.
That's true.
What are we like?
I mean, they did it last year. They did, the Oscars were in March last year.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, early March, I'm pretty sure, yeah. Because I remember waiting for it, what the fuck?
So, thank you for patiently listening through our debates. The winners are...
The Yaphir Award for Best Feature goes to Parasite.
Woo! Fuck yeah, shit. Deserved it. Full stop.
It's from the bong. The Yaphir Award for Best Director goes to Mr. Jordan Peele.
Fucking deserves it, man. As you said, horror movie.
It's a horror movie. We give it to the
Always get overlooked.
The Yaphir Award for Best Actor, can you believe this, goes to Adam Sandler.
Your boy.
Adam Sandler for Best
Adam
Actor.
Adam Sandler.
Perfect. The Yaphir Award for Best Actress goes to... Lupita Nyong'o.
So deserved.
Fucking bullshit and get a fucking nomination. Absolute bullshit. And the most awful film of 2019 that gets the award from the Yaphir, the most prestigious awards ceremony. The only awards ceremony.
Yeah.
The only one that matters.
Everyone should really pay attention to.
The most awful film goes to Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker.
Beautiful.
There you go.
It won something.
Yeah.
And you know, listener, if you don't agree, just remember this is your fault because you're the one that gave us these nominations.
Yep.
You could have nominated anything.
It's true.
That said, flip side of the coin, thank you because there were some really good nominations in there.
That's some good questions as well.
Like, there was a good range of shit to talk about.
Definitely.
Hey, looking to the future, what do we want to do with season two?
Right, so for the future, we are starting up a few things. We're looking to record the podcast. Yeah, record it.
Oh, yeah? We're going to get some video. We're going to show our pretty faces.
Yeah, put that shit on YouTube for you guys. A lot of people have said to me they like watching their podcasts, so we're going to try and get that to you, basically.
Yeah.
So you can see our ugly mutts laughing. Well, just Luke's. Obviously, mine is...
Horrendous,
yeah.
It's fine, we'll put a bag over his head first episode. It'd be good.
Oh, mate, thanks, man.
Yeah. One of those paper bags.
Do you know what? I've always wanted to. That would make me look amazing. Anyway, we also are looking, we're starting a Patreon. We'll let you know more about that in the future. We're setting that up. And, I mean, was there anything else, Luke, that we haven't mentioned? We're in the talks of sort of merch out. So if you guys, I'll tell you what, if you guys could message us ideas or things that you would like there to be merch. We've got some ideas already that we've got planned, but it'd be nice if you, you know, get some engagement from you guys and have you guys decide what you'd like.
Yeah.
On a shirt or a hoodie or whatever.
Yeah. Continued audience interaction.
Or some Speedos with Luke's face on it.
Please God, no. We're not never making that.
Let's actually do that.
No.
All right, both of our faces, so it looks like where the testicles would be.
Can we be like looking at each other?
So it's like looking at the penis.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Let's or vagina. Why you gotta be so specific?
Speedos. Okay, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. Speedos, they're just basically panties. That's true,
could be the vagina as well.
Come on, bruh.
That's true.
So as we mentioned at the beginning of this episode, we're going to be taking a short hiatus. Short, depending on how long short is for you. If you live forever, short is a couple of years. And if you're a fly, it's probably minutes. But
if you die tomorrow, it's the last episode.
And I hope that you've enjoyed it.
Hope you've had a good time.
Fucking hell. But yeah, if you want to continue following us, supporting us with listens and interactions, we've got the Facebook, Your Favorite Film is Awful.
Yep.
We have the Twitter, Fave Film is Awful.
Yep.
Which we talk quite often on, and we have the Instagram, Your Favorite Film is Awful, where we put on the little stories all the time. So honestly, your best places are definitely Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
Also, if you want to blast from the past, we do currently have a YouTube channel, Your Favorite Film is Awful, where there are little 10-minute snippets where it's like the film parts of the film go on repeat a little bit, and you can listen to our voices over that, if that's what you're into.
Yep.
So yeah, send us a message on any of those formats. Your continued listenership over this year, we're so grateful for. Like, yes, we would have continued this, as I said in one of the earlier episodes, because this is for us as well as for you. But the fact that you guys are enjoying it and letting us know that you're enjoying it, it's mind-boggling at points. Like, some people have actually like approached me and been like, yeah, we've done this. And then on Messenger, we've had a gentleman from Texas let us know. And we're a very small operation working outside of London. So the idea that people in America are listening to this bullshit is, what? How has this happened?
Yeah. No, it's actually incredible. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. We've had so much fun doing it. And we'll continue to have more fun doing it. But yeah, we just really want to take a moment to say thank you to all yous, because we did not expect as many people to want to listen to us talk shit about films for an hour and a half sometimes.
And yet they do.
They do. No, I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Lot. And keep messaging us, and we're always looking for ways to improve. We're open to new ideas all the time. We really want to make this the best listening experience, a podcast for us and for you guys. So yeah, please do.
Exactly. So again, message us, keep listening, please God share with your friends so more people can hear us. And
should
ultimately
be back in April, that's the aim. Or are we not saying that? I think we should give them a rough guideline.
Yeah, but what if we don't come back in April? What if we come back in May? What if we come back in December? No, what if we just skip a year?
But then we have to, don't we?
Yeah. Oh.
So if we say it, we have to.
Yeah, this is true. But ultimately, guys and gals and folks and people in between, listeners, thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Take care.
It's weird that there's not a third person.